How would you deal with a stranger stalking you in your car, trying to get into your vehicle, then tailgating you, driving in front of your vehicle, slamming on the brakes, and then swinging a car jack at you? This was a frightening situation confronting two teenage women in Wagga Wagga back in March. The case appeared in court this week and the charges of stalking and assault were dismissed on the condition the man adhered to a mental health treatment order. What would you do in a situation like that? What would you tell your teenage children to do if they were confronted in this way? Karen Armstrong runs Safety Strategies, where she teaches personal protection skills, and she joins us now to give us some advice on what to do if we're ever confronted, and hopefully it doesn't happen to any of us, in a situation like this. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Fiona.
Clearly this was a terrifying experience for the young girls. They called some friends to help them, some young men, and eventually drove to the police station. If we were to find ourselves in a vehicle being intimidated or stalked, what should we do?
Fiona, I think the young girls did exactly what they needed to do, which was to stay away from that dangerous situation. So they did everything to avoid contact with that guy. They stayed in the car. They kept it locked. They drove away as soon as they could. They drove to a safe place where they knew people. They knew there were those teenage friends who could help them and who did help them. And then when none of that was working, they went to the police. So I think those girls should be applauded for what they did, which was to stay away from any contact with that stalker.
I mean, most people have phones these days. Should we call the police immediately if we're in a situation where we were scared?
One of the most important things is to trust our natural survival instinct. And it sounds like that situation escalated and unfolded for them. So we don't always know danger, danger, danger. Like, as it escalated, they started to realise it's getting worse and worse. And maybe in retrospect, they might think, well, we could have gone to the police earlier. The most important thing is they stayed inside their car and went to a safe place. But the message that I would give is that survival is natural, and if we get that funny feeling, we should always err on the side of safety rather than danger. So if we're noticing something suspicious out of the ordinary, a person where we're having what we often call a gut feeling, and we think, well, should I call the police or not? We'd say err on the side of caution, of safety. Go to the police and let them know what you've observed and what's happening.
Because they won't mind, will they? Even if it turns out to be that it wasn't a real danger, but they'd be there for you.
I think it's very important, Fiona, to factually report what you've observed and what response you're having to it. So to say something like, you know, we didn't know him, he was a stranger, he approached us, we felt uncomfortable, we wanted to be safe, we want it reported. So it's to always be factual in our reporting and to ask the police what actions can they then take.
How do you prepare yourself to be safe when you're out and about? Well, let's start in the car. Should we lock the doors when we're driving around?
Well, in Safety Strategies, Fiona, we take an approach of prevent, avoid, diffuse, so that defence is an absolutely last resort. So prevention comes first, and that means any kind of forward planning. So it's simple things like making sure that your car is well maintained, making sure that your phone battery, your phone's charged up and that it's working, making sure you let somebody know where you're going and what time you're due back, planning ahead, thinking, are there any potential dangers? Well, even things like, what am I wearing? You know, I was thinking about this today, like if I had to run away, but I have heard lots of stories of women whose fight or flight instinct has kicked in even when they've had high-heeled shoes on. They've still been able to run from danger or, if necessary, pick up the shoes and use them to fight their way out of a dangerous situation. But forward planning might be thinking about where you're going, what you need, what you're wearing, what time you're due back. Avoiding is the next step. And what that means is whenever we see something that's potentially dangerous, like a person who we feel is maybe a little bit suspicious, we move away from them as quickly as we can and we move towards safe areas. So it might be a convenience store, it might be a petrol station, it might be going home, it might be going to the police, it might be going to where we know friends are. So avoiding means keeping at a safe distance. And it might mean that you do keep the car locked when you're going through any areas where someone could suddenly come up and jump in uninvited. The next step after that is diffusing, and this is about our communication skills, and it's where we can't get away from if we're suddenly confronted face-to-face with someone who's aggressive or threatening. And diffusing is the biggest part is our body language, and it's about acting as if we're really confident. Even if you feel scared on the inside, all the research shows that attackers are looking for an easy target. So standing up tall, enlarging your movements, looking and sounding confident often will deter somebody.
So don't get aggressive yourself, but speak clearly and don't have any quaver in your voice and act scared.
The most important thing is really to trust your own instincts, because survival is natural, and a lot of our safety strategies work is based on research into the people who got away safely. So through the media, like these girls in Wagga, their story is a survival story, and they are to be applauded for how they've handled it. And there are so many cases where people do get away safely, and they all have three things in common. And the starting point is they value themselves. They value their safety. So I brought up my daughter with things like, wherever you are, if you need me to come and get you, let me know. If people are drinking, make sure that you have another mode of transport planned. Make sure you've got your phone with you. So it's letting our children know that their safety is important to us, and we'll do whatever it takes to support them. It also means they learn to value their safety. And awareness is that we're thinking ahead. So we're looking ahead to danger and looking for safe exit paths. And the third element was the body language, putting on that positive, confident body language. And that might mean being really fierce, and it might mean being friendly. A whole range of body language strategies can be effective.
We'll take a quick word from Patrick in Bowerville. Hello, Patrick.
G'day, Fiona. About 30 years ago in the early 80s, I was a very big CB radio fan, and a group of us used to gather at a lookout in Sydney and sit up there because it was a good place to do radio. And a lady we knew by voice was being stalked by someone following her.
What did you do?
She was absolutely terrified. Well, because we were a group, I was nominated to be controller, and the others kind of scrambled. And I was directing into the nearest police station, and the other cars were heading down to escort her up there.
So you protected her. Great to hear, Patrick from Bowerville. Karen Armstrong, thank you so much for your time today.
Yes, and one of the most important things, Fiona, is a message to the men in the community, and that is to send out a message to other men about behaving with dignity and respect and integrity towards women. That's what a real man is.
Karen Armstrong, Safety Strategies with us.